Before the war in Iraq, the Pentagon hoped to use a good portion of the Iraqi regular army to help rebuild the country and to form the basis of a new national army, but neither proved possible. Regular and Republican Guard forces either mutinied or were destroyed in far greater numbers than U.S. officials anticipated. Now, American administrators must start from scratch in rebuilding the Iraqi military. NPR's Eric Westerveld reports.
In the first 2 weeks after the downfall of Saddam Hussein's dictatorship, combat engineers with the Army's 3rd Infantry Division took sweet pleasure in using large amounts of confiscated Iraqi C-4 explosives to blow up huge caches of Iraqi arms and ammunition. The giant blow-your-hair-back explosions set off in an open field often sent rocket-propelled grenade tips whizzing in every direction. The pyrotechnics also offered soldiers what amounted to the only entertainment in Baghdad.
That was bad ass. You can feel the air
Then, after 2 weeks of happily blowing up just about every Iraqi weapon and bomb they could find, the order suddenly came down to stop. Staff Sergeant Terry Miles helps unload case after heavy wooden case of 20-year-old Soviet-made rocket-propelled grenades, or RPGs, into a rundown warehouse.
Now they're going to store it for the new government to use to rebuild.
Why does the new government need 300 rounds of RPGs?
All I know is they're supposed to be rebuilding, using it to rebuild their army.
So this will be part of the new army, 300 rounds of RPGs?
Plus whatever we get.
The Pentagon had hopes much more Iraqi armor, weapons, and fighter aircraft would survive the war to help form the foundation of a new professional Iraqi defense force. But so much military equipment was destroyed during the fighting or looted for parts after the regime fell that U.S. authorities now have very little hardware to build on. The long decline and near total destruction of what was once the world's third largest army worries analyst Anthony Cordesman with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Without significant American military training and assistance, he says, Iraq will be vulnerable in a dangerous region, especially to its neighbor, Iran.
Giving an army old T-55 or T-62 tanks, this simply isn't going to deal with threats like Iran. You're talking something on the order of 300,000 people under arms. It is acknowledged it has chemical weapons. It's carrying out long-range missile tests. And there's a great deal of recent evidence that its nuclear weapons program is more advanced than many people had previously thought.
When training starts, U.S. forces will be rebuilding an institution that was well regarded by the Iraqi people as professional and patriotic, but that was also highly politicized and firmly under Saddam's thumb. It was also occasionally used by Saddam to exert domestic control. Middle East analyst Larry Goodson says any new force will have to fully shed its Ba'ath Party legacy.
There is the problem of the degree to which we have to de-Ba'athify that organization in order to get the people to perceive it correctly, and the extent to which we can separate the military per se from any kind of police force or domestic security, which of course the people have very bad memories of.
Analysts agree any new Iraqi army command will have to be free of the expansionist dreams and grandiose arms purchases that marked Saddam's rule. Anthony Cordesman says U.S. trainers will also have to navigate complex religious, ethnic, and tribal tensions.
One of the things none of us really know yet, because there are so many initial complaints and tensions, is how serious the divisions between Kurd and Arab, Turkmen, and other factions are going to be. Whether there's going to be a real problem between Sunni and Shiite, particularly between the sort of Shiite clergy and what is generally a fairly secular Sunni population.
Still, one senior U.S. official directly involved in reconstruction of Iraq was optimistic about starting with nothing. In some ways, this makes things easier, the official told NPR. Some Iraqi general who sat out the war with his division might have come up and proposed himself the new Iraqi chief of staff. And that, the source said, could have been a big problem. Some planners see building a new army as a lower priority than restoring more services and public order. But others argue that it's central to Iraq's national security and economy. Saddam's massive army was the biggest jobs program in Iraq. Yesterday, as U.S. Administrator Paul Bremer met with a new city council in Mosul, former Iraqi military officers demonstrated outside. Some demanded back pay and a job in any new army. Eric Westervelt, NPR News.